Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's John Mahaney, an instructor at Flight Safety International and an author and aviation speaker from Long Beach, California, who is today's host.
Good morning, everyone. This is John Mahaney with Aviation Safety. I'm at AOPA's Summit in Palm Springs with, and you are Charles White with
Micro Vortex Generators.
And he's going to talk to us a little bit about what they are and how they improve the handling characteristics of the airplane, especially at the low end, and what all they will do with the airplane. Charles.
Yeah, we mount a row of vortex generators. They're about an inch long and a quarter of an inch high. And we mount them on the wings of the airplane, about 2 or 3 inches, 4 inches after the leading edge, depending on the model. And they're about 33, 35 VGs on each wing. They're turned 30 degrees into relative wind. They're pigeon-toed together in pairs. And what they really do is they spin the air and keep it attached to the wing so you can fly at a slightly higher angle of attack before it stalls. If you can fly at a higher angle, you can stall at a slower speed. If you can stall slower, you can land shorter, take off shorter. But it also keeps the air attached to the ailerons, giving you better roll control. We go back to the tail on the vertical stabilizer. We mount a row of them on both sides. And that keeps air attached to the rudder. Crosswind is an exercise in rudder and aileron, so we have much better crosswind control. We also then go back to the vertical, to the horizontal. We mount them on the bottom of the horizontal because we're producing negative lift there, so we got better back stick authority, better back wheel authority. So all the control surfaces are working better. Now, we have a stall benefit, but because those control surfaces are working better, we have improved controllability on the airplane. We've had 78 people call us to say, thank you for saving my life. And that's the reason we still sell these kits at the same price we sold 20 years ago when we developed the first kit. When somebody calls and says, thank you for saving my life, it can be a pretty emotional moment, depending on how close it was to the incident. And some were VMC situations in twins where we reduced VMC. Two of them, interestingly enough, were in 340s. They're coming in to land right over the fence. One flap let go on one side. And a young guy named Manuel Valladolid was flying the airplane. All 6 seats filled. He said, oh, Carlos, everything went to hell on my airplane. Tried to turn upside down. I cranked in full aileron and had just enough to keep it upright and then made a no-flap landing. It was just something unusual. And in the kit, we put everything you need for the installation, and I mean everything except, like for a 180, everything except a bottle of isopropyl alcohol and a roll of paper towels. That's for cleanup of any of the Loctite-dependent adhesive we use for bonding to the painted surface. And the ladder to climb up and put them on the wings and tail, but everything else is there. The illustrated instruction showed how to put a string line on the wing out of position. We got tools to do that. Even the string is there. And that's really what we do. And I would love to beat my chest and tell you how brilliant I was of thinking of this. I actually did the first development flights, did 132 VMC runs in the Baron, and took a year to get that STC. But I can tell you how it was designed and developed. I went for the Boeing plant in Everett, Washington in 1986. And I saw the VGs on the wings of the 767. I asked the Boeing engineer, what do those things do? I look out of the wing of the airliner, and I see them sticking up off the top of the wing. And he said, well, you notice they're about 50% aft the leading edge, about halfway aft to the trailing edge. Those VGs on that Boeing are there to address a shock wave that develops in the Mach 0.7 range. The shock wave sets up Dutch roll. VGs eliminate the shock wave, eliminate Dutch roll. I said, well, and Mach 0.7 won't help me on my Baron. I was flying at the time. And he said, well, in 1950, Boeing worked with NASA to reduce stall speed by mounting a row of them not halfway aft, as you see here, but about 10% aft the leading edge. And I said, 1950, I remember that. That was B-17, B-29, B-50. Similar speeds to this little Baron. What are you supposed to do in the Baron? He said, oh, probably reduce stall about 10 knots. I said, from the 7.5s down to the 6.5s, that's huge. We handmade some, taped them in place, flew, and got a 10-knot reduction in stall speed. And that issued in August of 1987, and we now have over 500 models that are STC approved. Remembering all the while that there are 32 different models of 172 alone, but by model we have that many covered. In the last 12 months, we've done STC approval on the King Air 90, on the Luscombe, climbed out of the King Air 90 into a Luscombe, and on the Diamond Twin with the last one. We're working with manufacturers. We ship directly to Piper, to Mall, to American Champion, some others. Anyway, that's what we're doing. We're trying to save some lives, make the airplanes safer, make them perform better, more stable instrument platform. It's just something unusual. Love doing this, love dealing with pilots all over the world, and made in the USA and shipped all over the world.
Thank you very much, Charles. John Mahaney at AOPA Summit. Appreciate your time, sir. Thank you.
Now let's rejoin John Mahaney and Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network.
Good morning. This is John Mahaney at the AOPA Summit in Palm Springs, and I'm here with Ice Shield De-icing Systems with, I believe it's Dave Vega. And Dave's going to tell us a little bit about Ice Shield, how it's better, different from the BF Goodrich boots that many people have on their airplanes. So, here, Dave.
Good afternoon, John. As far as the ice boots, it's one of the things, you know, when John was asking about, you know, any kind of maintenance for the boots, you want to making sure, first of all, that you're always functionally checking the boots before you go out flying. You always want to make sure that the whole system is flying, because you don't want any kind of pinholes or anything that can contribute to the tubes not raising and breaking off the ice. One other thing, too, is that be conscientious about putting patches on the boots, where many times what I've heard from a lot of folks is that a lot of times chunks of ice actually form at that area where the patches are, and if you accumulate too many patches on there, the boot is not going to functionally work. So be aware of that also. As far as maintenance on the boot, as far as getting any kind of bug juice or anything that you get on the boots, we highly suggest using a warm rag and wiping off the bug juice off the boots, making sure that the rag is clean and that you have any kind of oils or anything on there that will contaminate anything if you put any additives on the boots. I'm aware of PBS, where you put some PBS on there that sometimes over a period of time it accumulates wax buildup, where it restricts the tubes from inflating when you activate the system. So if that occurs, then you would need to go ahead and recondition the boots to making sure that they are free from that happening. Other maintenance that we do suggest also is there is something that's called Ice Shield Plus, which we provide, and basically what it is a protectant or a silicone-based protectant that you put on the boot, you apply on the boot, and basically what it does is it helps from residual ice sticking on the boot. So that I know as a pilot that when you start getting into that kind of weather, that is a good idea to apply it on every 30 to 50 hours on there to help again from residual ice sticking on the boot. That's pretty much what I got so far.
Thank you, Dave. John Mahaney at AOPA Summit, talking with Dave Vega from Ice Shield. Thank you, Dave.
Now let's rejoin John Mahaney and Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network.
Good morning, everyone. This is John Mahaney with Managing Safety. I'm at the AOPA Summit in Palm Springs with Eldon Anderson, and we're at the Michelin Tire booth. So we're going to ask Eldon a little bit about, well, introducing himself, and then a little bit about tire safety on aircraft, and which is often overlooked by the pilots. So,
hi. believe it or not, the number one thing that we recommend is inflation pressure. And I know everybody's heard this so many times, but we're seeing that it's not being done correctly. And as we do our studies on tire life, we're finding that the inflation is even more important than we thought. For instance, our own flight department at Michelin, we used to keep our inflation pressures in the mid-range according to the manufacturer recommended pressures. But when we started keeping the pressure in the top of the range all the time and not just mid-range, we increased our own tire life on our Hawkers by 16%. That equated to basically a free set of tires every 2 years just by changing our inflation schedule.
I wouldn't have guessed. I mean, entire technology has come a long way over the years, as you were pointing out at the safety stand down as well.
Another thing we've pointed out is that car tires are different than airplane tires. In a car tire, you want to remove the tire when the thread is about 2/32 seconds. That's required by law for water egression and for traction. However, that doesn't apply to airplanes. You need to check the aviation standards, look at the our care and service manual, and you actually run your tire down until it's smooth, 45 degrees or one eighth of the circumference of the tire. The reason we encourage this is that as the tire gets older, it gets more landings per millimeter of rubber than it does when it's new. Therefore, if you take off a tire at 2/32 seconds, like with a car tire, you're wasting about 30-35% of your landings.
I had no idea. Quite an education. We could all stand to learn more about the aircraft tires. Thank you very much, Eldon. Any other comments or... That's good right there, actually, unless...
We have very good information on airmichelin.com, and if you go to our technical area, you'll find downloads of the care and service manual.
Thank you very much, and this was with Eldon Anderson. That's E-L-D-O-N Anderson, Michelin Tire. Thank you very much.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.